the tabletop. Take away
game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop. Take away.
Welcome back to the Tabletop Takeaway. I'm Charlie McCarron.
I'm Trevor Muller-Hagel.
And I'm Ananda Gunaratna.
And welcome to our bonus wrap-up episode about the mechanic of card shedding. And as a subcategory of that, a lot of card shedding games are also considered ladder climbing games. Yeah, there's a lot of classics like, let's see. There's many names for it. But presidents and something else.
Oh.
And
derriere.
Yeah. Rich man, poor man. What else? I don't know. Anyways, classic card games like those. But the ones we played for this series are Scout, I Know You Don't, and Custom Heroes. I enjoyed all of these games, and just to talk about what this mechanic is a little bit, card shedding means you have a hand of cards and you're trying to get rid of all the cards, and whoever does that first wins the round.
Wins the something.
Something or other. And the ladder climbing aspect of it is usually there's like, okay, say you start with a 2 and then someone can beat it with a 7, but then maybe someone could beat that 7 by playing 2 4s, mm-hmm. and then the 2 4s could be beaten by 3 1s or something like that. So you're usually increasing in number, value, and amount of cards that are in your set. So,
which is why Custom Heroes was a little bit off of that as well, because you had to stay with the number of cards that was originally played per group of cards played. But still, like, 2 is more than 1, because you're getting rid of more cards, and that feels better because you're trying to win. You're trying to run out of cards.
Mm-hmm.
So card shedding is definitely the overarching objective with these games.
Yeah. And we've played some other shedding games, too, in the past, such as Dutch Blitz. Dutch Blitz is a shedding game, right? It's a bit different.
Yeah.
But it's not so much getting rid of a hand of cards as getting rid of a stack, which I guess is kind of like a hand.
It's an invisible hand.
Yeah, and you do have the posts in front of you. Let's see, any other shedding games that we've played on the Tabletop Takeaway?
If I could remember all 130 something.
Yeah. And Charlie, you've made kind of a shedding game.
Yes, and I didn't even think about it until you brought that up.
Yeah, we decided not to cover it, but maybe on a future episode. But Alphabet Stoop.
Yes, Alphabet Stoop. The basic idea, you are delivering letters as little packages to different houses on going around the table. And the goal, there's two ways to win, but one of those ways is to get rid of all the packages in all of your delivery trucks. And in your deliverers are, trying to also make words on the spots with the letters. So that part is almost ladder climbing in a way, because it's like, well, I start with the word like cat, and then someone could come along and make it catch.
Oh, sure.
Or cats.
Cats.
Or crate.
Yep. Yeah, you can rearrange the letters too.
Oh. Track.
Mm-hmm. And I guess from that one, I did like the part that there's two ways to win. Because sometimes in a shedding game,
it's pretty clear.
Clear, like, so this person only has 1 card left. They're probably going to be able to go out eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But the kind of interesting thing that a few of these games have had is, you see that someone has 1 card left, and you know that if you play a pair,
then you can stop them.
Yeah, which is always fun.
And then you can skip them if you can match the card.
Yeah, you're doing that in Custom Heroes. Or in Scout, there's the secondary way to win, that you just play a monster hand and no one can beat it eventually around the table. But yeah, having that risk reward is very fun. Of like, well, do I keep playing? Both Scout and Custom Heroes kind of have that, where it's like,
oh, sure.
Do I build up my hand or save the good stuff for later, or just try to like rush it? And
do I hope that the person after me is able to beat it so the person doesn't win who played it? That's always a risk.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I think for me, the most interesting thing about shedding games is that the shape of the game, the way that progression works in the game, has you getting rid of things mm-hmm. to progress. And the reason that this is good is that as you're getting rid of things, your cognitive load is decreasing, right? Mm. You're sort of crossing off objectives, and now you don't have to think about them anymore. As your hand size gets smaller, it does become more difficult to get rid of the remaining cards, maybe. But at the same time, there's less cards to think about. So the player progression is sort of aligned, or the arc of the game is towards fewer choices and more relief.
But you're trying to set yourself up so that your future hands are easier.
Yes.
Yeah, you're really focusing on those first few plays to make sure, like, I need to get rid of my ones, I need to get rid of my low cards.
Right.
To make sure that I am good going forward.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's much easier to play early on because you have more
cards. So many options. Yeah.
And I really like how progression makes, progression reduces the burden on players. Whereas normally progression increases the burden because you get more stuff and you need to keep track of the more stuff and figure out what to do with it. And this is just a very relaxing direction for the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think, maybe
sometimes relaxing. Sometimes it's very tense because you're like,
Am I going to be able to play this? Or I don't think I can play this.
It's tense, but it's simpler, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I think maybe I'll just make that my takeaway, which is that subtractive progression creates a really nice game arc.
And it's very different from the normal game arc that we're used to, which is nice for a change of pace.
Yeah, it makes things...
cozier.
Cozier, less complex for the player as the game goes on, mm-hmm. and maybe as their energy wanes. I don't know.
Yeah. As you were talking about that, it kind of made me think of a heuristic that I learned long ago playing like Rich Man, Poor Man at Boy Scout camp and stuff, where there's like an interesting thing where you don't need to get rid of all your bad cards, because if you win the last hand, then you can just dump off a really low card at the very end for you're out of cards, but... That, to me, is kind of a just interesting little tension point
mm-hmm.
where it's like, well, do I think I can actually win this hand so that I can get rid of that bad card at the end? And sometimes it does not pay off.
Yeah.
And that's the most painful, because then you're left with like a bad card that you are never going to be able to play.
Yeah. I'm curious, too, like thinking of card shedding across other kind of subgenres other than ladder climbing. Because I know you don't really kind of feels like it removes itself from ladder climbing, because it's more of deduction. You're more figuring out what's coming next. And if you can figure it out, you can play lots of cards at once. As long as you know the sequence, you can get out pretty quick. I'd be curious what else you can do with card shedding, or with just shedding in general. Because obviously Alphabet Stoop is a whole other bag of beans. Because it's not cards you're shedding, it's tokens, right?
Yeah. It's
effectively.
Yeah. Actually, like, Bananagrams is that, too.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it. Just speed version of Scrabble, if you haven't played that.
Yeah.
And you're just trying to get rid of all your letters. So, yeah.
Shedding works pretty well for word games, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's another shedding and, I guess, ladder climbing game I played. But it's not actually ladder climbing as much. It's called 1 AM Jailbreak. It's a new one, and it's got this idea of like all the cards are people in jail, numbers 1 through 8 or something, and you're making runs and sets of numbers. And the theme is you're digging out of a tunnel, and as you play, like, say, maybe Ananda starts with a 2-card set, then I can go either 1 card, 2 cards, or 3 cards. So the tunnel can either get smaller or expand by 1. And then if someone start, if as you start expanding more and more, you know, like, people are getting rid of more cards. And it's not like you have to beat the sets that are played. It's more just how many cards can you play at once. So I thought that was pretty cool. And it led to this, like, interesting, like, well, I know that, you know, one player only has so many cards in their hand left. We got to expand this tunnel so that they can't play.
Oh, sure.
At the end. Or vice versa. It's like, well, I want to start the tunnel small because I don't want it to end until it gets back to me. And so you're like, yeah.
Interesting. Is there a way you can combine deck building with card shedding? I feel like it's a weird, because one's constructive, one's destructive.
Right.
But I'd be curious if there's like a way to, maybe you start with a lot of things and then you can acquire things to get rid of things.
Yeah, I mean, I had a goblin card game I was working on a while ago, but it wasn't really shedding. It was more reverse deck building.
Yeah,
where you start with a lot of different cards and you get rid of the ones you don't like. But with shedding, you're trying to get rid of everything.
Yeah.
So making that work in a deck builder,
it'd be like playing. Well, oh, good.
Oh no, I thought of one. Abandon all artichokes. Emma Larkins. It's a game, that's a deck builder, and you're trying to make it so that you don't have any artichokes left in your deck. Oh,
specific cards. Oh, okay.
And then when you, I forget the exact end condition, but maybe it's like if you draw a hand that doesn't have any, you win or something like that.
So sort of like Dominion, but you start with a bunch of curses.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. Yep. And that one, I don't think you even buy. I don't think you have to spend money to buy. You just, like, add. It's very light and fun concept.
Cool. That's fun.
I think I was just playing another game recently where the end condition. Oh, that's a prototype. Never mind.
Can't talk about that.
Another nice thing about shedding games is, so I guess damage in a shedding game is getting more
acquiring cards.
Right.
Kind of like heat? Yeah. No.
Well,
kind of.
Like in Scout, when you have to scout a card, that is getting you further from your objective of getting rid of your hand, right?
True.
But it doesn't feel that bad because usually the card you get is going to give you better options later.
And you get to choose which card you're getting and which side is up, right?
In the case of Scout. But even more generally, like in what is that card game? BS? That's an interesting one because in that one you can bluff about what cards you're playing. Or like in Uno, I guess, gaining more cards is bad, but, well, maybe in Uno it just feels bad anyway. But that's because you can only play 1 card per turn in Uno.
But then you can play more cards. You have more opportunity to play cards, and you like being able to play cards.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I don't know if it works that way in Uno, but quite often if gaining more cards gives you more things you can do, it doesn't feel that bad because you're like, well, okay, that's unfortunate, but maybe I'll be able to play something better later.
If you have the capacity to play more cards at once because of that card you drew, that feels good.
Yeah, it's like a built-in silver lining.
Absolutely, yeah.
It makes it very easy to have attack mechanics that don't feel too bad. Or just setbacks that don't feel too bad.
Which, you know, Slay the Spire, again, there's curse cards and, you know, things like that that add a card to your deck that only does bad things and takes up slot from your draw. So it's like, well, that always feels bad. But, yeah. But then you can get things that actually make it feel good by changing what curses can do.
Or you can get things that synergize with, like, exhaust, and then you have exhaust curses, and those are...
Yep.
Yeah.
Slay the Spire, which is also a board game.
Wait, so we've talked many times about time travel games, but could there be a time travel shedding game? That would be thematically like, oh, yeah, obviously, like, I'm getting rid of all these things that...
Honestly, I went straight to the Loki show from Marvel, where you're trying to trim the timeline.
Ooh.
And so you're trying to shed away the things that are bad in the timeline.
It's kind of a fun idea.
You can have it for free.
Time travel shedding game.
There you go.
Write that down here.
Nice.
Time travel. Don't create paradoxes, remember.
Yeah. Do you think there's also, like, some inherently fun thing about, like, you know, humans like to clean up things and...
Yeah, organize things and...
I mean, it's like we've talked about before, getting rid of liabilities feels better than gaining assets.
Mm.
And shedding games are all about getting rid of liabilities.
Because everything's a liability.
Everything's a liability.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe thematically some of these should be like more aimed at like you're trying to get rid of whatever.
You're trying to get out of debt.
Trying to get out of jail.
Trying to get out of jail.
Yep, you're...
You're covering up your crimes.
Yep. Evidence cards.
Yep.
But yeah, you have that built very naturally into any shedding game. The natural bias towards getting rid of stuff we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And how satisfying that feels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like the idea of having these games, or like you were talking about with the artichoke game, mm-hmm. where you have things you want. And a lot of things you don't want. And so figuring out how to chain combos to create a system or an engine to clean up things,
mm-hmm.
it's very satisfying. Because then as you go through, like, it gets maybe even better at doing so. And then you just have, like, a few things straggling behind. And then it becomes a little bit of a race. I like that feel. That feels nice.
I feel like there's a game maybe out there already or something like this, but... I kind of had this thought with my glasses game in one long ago version, but the idea of like you're whittling down your hand to have one victory condition left in your hand. Yeah. So you're, throughout the game, you're like getting rid of cards, and eventually one of those will be how you score or something like that.
Sure.
So you have to be smart. And that could be kind of fun along with that idea, Nanda, of like, the decision space at the beginning is really huge, so you don't know maybe exactly which direction to go in, but as it goes down, you're whittling down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, a small version of that is Nemesis, where you start with the two goal cards, and they each have sometimes two potential win conditions on them.
Yeah.
And as the game goes, you're like, okay, what am I going to do at the end?
And it's a relief. Getting rid of those options is a relief.
Yeah, because it... reduces your cognitive load, which always feels nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So what...
takeaways.
Yeah, what do you guys have for takeaways?
Takeaways for shedding games. In general, I think there is something, like we're talking about, with getting rid of cards, getting rid of something that is a negative. But then for my takeaway, I don't know if you use it as your takeaway, but... the ability to acquire something in order to create the combo, I really like that for shedding games. So, like, if you're able to, like, yes, taking something does reduce your, you know, your place towards victory. But if it makes it so you can combo with something else, then that actually feels really good and you can feel strategic in that moment. And so I think I'm going to use that for my takeaway. I think that's a really great use in shedding games in general.
And you know what that reminds me of a little bit is in... No Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me a little of when you've got a gap between two numbers and you find a number that goes in that gap and suddenly...
Whoop.
You're... Yeah. it's a little bit different, but...
Yeah.
It just reminds me of that for some reason.
Almost like Connect Four or like, you know, this like really simple concept of completing something.
Right. Filling in a gap.
Yeah. It's just very satisfying. And so, yeah, having those moments where it could sometimes just result in a negative, and that's okay because sometimes it will result in an even better positive than it is a negative. Again, doesn't work for Uno.
Yeah.
Because you can only play one card.
Right.
Okay, here's a random takeaway that just occurred to me.
Oh, awesome.
There's a lot of games that are the typical game designer, I guess, direction is as you progress, you should gain more stuff and become more powerful. And this is the opposite. It's like, no, you're just trying to play well during the game so that you have nothing left at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, it's like maybe I'll compare it just off the wall to chess, where you're kind of shedding pawns in a way.
It's a pawn shedding game.
Pawn shedding so that you...
that's my
you
strategy.
Become, you have less... options, but you in a way you have more freedom to focus, and then the end becomes very tense and tight, where the things you do have are super important
and can move across the board a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Getting rid of what doesn't matter so you can focus on what does.
Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, sculpting a sculpture out of rock.
Mm-hmm.
Artistry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, since we're since we're talking about climbing the ladder climbing games, Trevor, do you have something you want to talk about?
So some exciting news for me. I have recently accepted a position at a new job. It is not in the board game field. It is in accounting, and it is in Missoula, Montana, which is not Minneapolis, Minnesota, which is where we currently are right now. So we're currently working on how that might look for the podcast going forward. We have some thoughts and ideas. But yeah, so this might be there might be some more episodes where we still record live, but we might still be transitioning
in person.
Not live. In person, in front of each other, looking at each other
in
the same room. But yeah, so that's going to be a big shift. We're going to see what happens, but it might mean that we might have to take a small delay just to make sure that we can get everything set up for this new transition.
Or maybe we won't.
Or
we might.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about it and figuring out, you know, we could hear from listeners, of course. I'm sure you want to keep the weekly episodes rolling. But, you know, life changes can lead to other things happening for people. But we're going to see about figuring it out, how to do it online together. Not quite the same, and we're very going to miss Trevor and on behalf of the Minnesota designer community. we really appreciate you, Trevor. You've been doing so much good stuff for this community here.
Well, I appreciate
and
that.
And people
Thank
online,
you.
Too. So,
yeah,
we support you.
I appreciate it a ton. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually one of the hardest decisions I've ever made.
Yeah.
I was on the fence of saying no, and then I hopped on the other side of the fence and said yes. And it was just a tumultuous week, we'll say.
Yep. And of course you brought up, well, you know, if you guys need to, you could replace me. And we're just like, no. not going to happen.
Well, maybe we have a guest host every now and then if there's things that are not lining up quite right.
Yeah.
You know.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. But this trio, it's been such a wonderful time with you guys on the podcast.
2.5 Major years, highlight. I think, is where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Guess. Yep. 130. This is our 134th episode.
Wow.
So.
Not including all the RPG episodes? Oh, we don't have to go into that.
Oh, yeah, I guess because those are all technically like
those don't count.
Extras.
We count them, but we don't count them.
Truly bonus.
Yeah. The truly bonus content.
True
bonus episodes. Yep.
Our actual play series that was not very long.
Yeah. So, yeah, we just thought we'd throw it out there just in case you're worried about what's happening right now. You know, there
might
be a hiatus
for
or quiet
at least
time.
2 days. They normally release it on Tuesday nights, Wednesday mornings.
Yep. But whatever happens, we appreciate all of you listeners as well, and do stay in touch with us.
Absolutely. Discord is a great way to do that.
Yep.
Or email us at thetabletoptakeaway.com or at tabletoptakeaway@gmail.com.
Yeah.
There we go. I got there in the end.
All right. Well, signing off. And that's it for card shedding games.
And Trevor shedding games.
Trevor shedding. No!
Hey, thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com, where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.